Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Blue Jackets fans, your time is now.
That's an attention getter.
This is CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org.
Do it. Do it.
Now, here's your host. He may not be the biggest.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
But he's certainly the best.
I know he's got balls of steel, that guy.
Bob McGilligan.
It's gonna be a long, hot summer. Wish you'd be together with your feet up on the dashboard now. Singing along with the radio. It's such a beautiful sound. And when they say my name in the middle of the day, I swear I see the stars come out.
Yes, summer is finally upon us here in central Ohio, where the temperatures are high. So is the anticipation, I guess, is the way to put it. There is high anticipation to see what the Blue Jackets will be transformed into over the course of the next couple of days, maybe even weeks. Welcome to an off-season edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. Coming up in just a bit, there are several things. There's one thing that happened yesterday that was significant. The schedule came out. So the schedule is there. The thing I like the most about the schedule is I know what my world will look like from September to April. That I do know, just by looking at that schedule and being able to plan, and which I don't do much of, quite frankly, but just knowing where you're going to be and when you're going to be there. So that's a big thing. So we'll talk a little bit about the schedule and some of the highlights of the schedule that was released yesterday, the regular season schedule. Also, I told you this on the last show on Monday during the mailbag edition. I told you that I am going to be part of the Dean's Charity Steer Show, where the funds that are raised will benefit the Ronald McDonald Charities of Central Ohio, and I will be showing a steer, and yes, a live animal. I will be showing that live steer at that show, and Michaelin Helmke is the young lady who the steer belongs to, and she has been showing him, and I'm going to talk with her coming up here in just a bit, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that, because you're going to hear a very bright and articulate young lady talking to me about what I'm going to be doing in that show. So that is coming up. But also, the prospects are on the ice for development camp here for the Blue Jackets. A couple days of coming into the ice house, going through drills, not such fun things, actually not normally such fun things, going through drills. But when you get a chance as a young player to come to the NHL city, many of them with the city that drafted them or with the organization that they are a part of right now, it is more exciting. You're okay with going into the NHL building and skating through drills and all of that stuff, and that's what these guys are doing this week. But for some of these prospects, it is not a couple of year wait, perhaps, to make it to the show. There is an opportunity that is looming for them in September. And there are three guys in this camp specifically who go on that list. One of those guys has already started to realize his dream a little bit when he came in at the end of the regular season last year and participated in the playoffs too, and that is Alexander Texier. Another guy who has just come over from Europe and is hoping that when October the 4th comes and the Blue Jackets take on the Toronto Maple Leafs that he's on the roster, that is Emil Bemström. I'm going to talk with those two guys on Friday, right before the final day of development camp, and I will talk to them together in tandem. They've been doing a lot of things in tandem during this camp, so you will hear from them on Friday. There's a third guy on that list, and he happened to be the number one draft pick of the Blue Jackets last year, and that is Liam Foudy. Now, when the Blue Jackets took Foudy with their first round pick last year, the thing that they talked about was very evident in watching him play. Speed. He has speed to burn. Now, how close is that speed and the rest of his game, how close is that to being ready for the National Hockey League? That is the question. That's the question with every prospect. But in this case with Foudy, there were a lot of people that thought that there were other areas of his game that he really had to work on. The good news is, in the Ontario Hockey League, he plays for the London Knights. And the London Knights have cranked out many a good NHL player, including the guy that just joined the Blue Jackets front office a couple of weeks ago officially in Rick Nash. So if you're going to play in the Ontario Hockey League, the London Knights is one of those destinations that a lot of guys want to go to. They want to play there. They want to play for Dale and Mark Hunter because, you know, they were both in the NHL and, you know, playing in the NHL, coaching in the NHL, all that stuff. So there's a ton of experience there. There's a ton of knowledge that gets laid upon you, and it's run, you know, pretty much like an NHL team. I mean, that's the way they do things with the London Knights. I'm not saying they don't do that with any other teams. I'm not trying to put the London Knights over everybody, but in this case, I think this is a very good fit for Liam Foudy. I had a chance to catch up with Liam, talk with him about scoring over 30 goals. He had 32 goals for the London Knights last year. Then he came on to play with the Cleveland Monsters in the American Hockey League playoffs, a Cleveland Monsters team that knocked off the Tampa Bay Lightning affiliate, the Syracuse Crunch, in the first round. Foudy had some goals in that series to go along with the 32 that he had in the Ontario Hockey League. So it was a big year for Liam Foudy, and it all started when he was drafted by the Blue Jackets last June.
It's definitely been a lot for me. I've never been through that in my life, just having to go to U18, starting off the season, going to U18s Canada, playing in Russia, then right from there going to the NHL Combine, and then going to the draft, a pretty nervous weekend, and then right to here, right from the draft, and then having a bit of time off, then the World Junior Camp, and then to the main camp here, and then having a season, and like I said, going to Cleveland after we lost, and playing some of my first pro games, and it's definitely a lot, but it was a good experience all year.
Did you finally get some time to breathe after the Cleveland season was over?
Not much time because I had to come here. So we won that first round, so we got swept by Toronto. So I probably had like 2 weeks off and then had to start training right away to get ready for this.
You had another good season for the London Knights before you went to Cleveland. What was that first pro hockey experience like for you, though?
It's definitely a lot different. You're not playing against 16-year-old kids anymore, like the young guys in the OHL. So playing against grown men, these guys have families and kids. So they're definitely a lot bigger and stronger. But I think it was a good experience to know where I'm at compared to them, and it was good fun.
Where did you find that you were at, especially as you got in, you started to practice, and you started to play some games?
At the start, it was a bit different. I got to get used to it. I've always been a player. It takes me a couple of games to get used to it. But once I did, I didn't find that it wasn't that much of a difference other than how big they are and how much they are. They battle a lot harder, and they're stronger in the corners, really.
Were there any guys there that kind of helped you along there to get acclimated?
Yeah, they're all really nice guys, but I've known Cole Sherwood for a while from my junior time, so he helped me out right away, so I knew him, and it was nice knowing him there.
Actually got a couple of goals there for the Cleveland Monsters, too, so that first pro goals checklist, you've taken care of that?
Yeah, those are nice to get, and now there's one more pro goal to get.
When you guys won that series against Syracuse, knocking off the Tampa affiliate, you know, you come into a situation where there were a number of young guys that came in there right at the end for a team that just got into the playoffs. You know, it seemed like you were able to gel pretty quickly for the group that you had there.
I was talking to Sherwood during the year, and he was telling me how they got a really good group of guys. And right when I got in, I could tell everyone was really close. Everyone was really nice in there. There's not, like, separate packs. Everyone was together, and I think that helped us out in the playoffs. Everyone was together. We played together, and it worked out for the first round.
Of course, the one thing that we know about you is your speed, and your speed works everywhere. Works in the Ontario Hockey League, works in the American Hockey League, yeah. And you're hoping to get the show that prove that it works in the NHL, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. I try to go out there and use my speed as best I can.
With all that experience, though, what changes for you coming into this second development camp? How do you look at things overall?
Definitely not as nervous and as rushed. Like, you had time to prepare for it. You knew it was coming. You knew it was all that, what to expect at camp. You know, you've been here before. So coming in, it's definitely you're a lot more relaxed and just ready to go, really.
Since you've had the opportunity to be here and skate in camps and play in the American Hockey League a little bit, how important is it and how helpful is it that you play for the London Knights? Because, first of all, there have been so many guys that have come out of that organization. But I know when I talked to Josh Anderson, just the experience that he got there is really starting to pay off for him right now.
Yeah, they've turned out probably one of the most pros from that organization, the whole CHL. They're a great organization, having Dale and Mark run it. They know what they're doing. Dale's coaching the NHL, so he knows a thing or two. So having them there, and they run good practices, everything goes well. And I think just they've been through it with so many guys, so you need any help, they're there for you, and that helps you out a lot in the long term.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Hunters, and especially after you get drafted, did they make an effort to come to you and talk to you, maybe not differently, but just to start to help you understand, you know, what's coming for you in the future?
Yeah, definitely. It was it was coming into my, that would be my third year this year. So just being there, they talked to me a lot more about different situations. And I was more of a leader on the team, you know, assistant captain. So they just talked to me about my future and everything. And they're really helpful this year.
You know, the funny thing about this development camp is fans get excited about it because hockey's back for a week. For you guys, it's a lot of testing and all that stuff. The fun part isn't until the 3-on-3 right at the end of the camp. But what are you looking to do when you come in here? What things are you focused on this year that maybe are different from the things you were focused on last year?
I think last year I had no idea what to expect. First camp, first pro camp ever. So just coming in, I think I was just trying to just try to do my thing and trying to just do my own little thing. It was tough because you didn't know what to expect that much. And now this year you're more confident, more comfortable. You know a lot more people. You know the staff a lot better. So you're just more comfortable with your game out there this year, I think.
Funny thing about this camp is there's not the veterans around like there will be come September. So this is a chance for the young guys kind of to get to know each other and make your own little packs before that next camp, right?
Yeah, definitely. You already know a few guys from the years before. So coming in, it's not a few faces, so it's better.
You look at this year as a big year for you, or maybe just a big opportunity for you in what's coming up, not only this week but the next couple of months.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the goal is to play in the NHL, so you got to come in and have a big summer and just be prepared to come in. You come into camp, you play good at camp, and give yourself a good shot. That's the goal.
Even though you were playing in the American Hockey League playoffs last year, how much were you keeping an eye on what was going on just a couple of hours away down here in Columbus?
I watched every game that I could, just voting for them and trying them to go far. And what they did in the first round was obviously pretty special.
Yeah, it was special, no doubt. And as I said, you guys knocked off Tampa's affiliate there in the American Hockey League. So they gave them the old double whammy, didn't
they? Yeah, by Columbus. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And it was a similar situation. It was a team that had great success all year, and all of a sudden they didn't have it in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like both underdogs, and to do what both teams did, it's pretty cool.
Going into when you get to the training camp this year, how will you approach that part differently? Do you have any idea?
Well, like I said, same thing as development camp. You just know a lot more. You'll know people there, so it'll be helpful. And you come in, and you just got to be ready. I know what they expect. I know how hard it is. Tortorella runs hard camp, as everyone knows. So just come in, just be more prepared for it, really.
And when it gets to those games, those preseason games that they don't matter for points, but they matter a lot to guys like you, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. You got to try to make an impression right off the bat and see if they like you enough.
All right, the couple days you're in town, what do you do in the downtime? Because, you know, you come in, like I said, you do these testings and you do the skates and stuff, and I know they have some events planned for you, but how do you handle the downtime?
Well, this year now I know people, so we can figure stuff out. There's a few guys that have cars, so we can go visit the city a bit more. Last year I just didn't really know that many people, so I just hung out with my roommate that much in the room. So now you get to go around and see a bit more of the city, and it'll be fun.
And the good thing is you weren't here last week when the weather was terrible. Yeah. So you're here for a much better week.
Yeah, the guys told me that we were here last week, so it was just raining every day, and now it's nice and sunny, so that's good.
Liam, thank you so much. Best of luck to you, not only in this camp, but as you work toward the next camp, too.
Thank you.
That is Liam Foudy, and last year he was the Blue Jackets' number one draft pick. Now, is he ready to take another step? That's what we're going to find out when the big camp comes in September. Everybody's talking about Alexander Texier. Everybody's talking about Emil Bemström, and for good reason. There's no question about that. Could Foudy be an under-the-radar guy? Could he be somebody that sneaks up on people? You know, he's still eligible to play in junior, so there's no rush. There's no hurry. In fact, when the Blue Jackets drafted him last year, they basically said, look, there's a couple of years where Liam Foudy can just develop and he can grow and we don't need him yet. But sometimes players force the issue. Sometimes players decide when they're ready, and it can be before you thought that they were ready. So we're going to find out in a few months here if Liam Foudy happens to be one of those guys. Right now I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union, and you know, they've got great services, and you can find out all about it at telhio.org. But this summer, they are a part of the inaugural Dean's Charity Steer Show. And what this show has been put together to do is help to raise money to benefit the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Ohio. So Telhio is a big part of this, and they asked me to be a part of it, for which I am very, very grateful. And I'm hoping that you will join me in this endeavor. Now, here's what it is. I am going to, at the Ohio State Fairgrounds, I am going to be showing a steer. Yes, I am going to be leading a live animal and hoping that I'm able to handle all of that. And I feel very confident in the fact that I'm going to be able to handle that because I do have a 4-H family. And my 4-H family is the Helmke family. They are from New Philadelphia, Ohio, And I am joined right now by the young lady whose steer I am going to be entrusted with and I am going to be showing. And her name is Mikaelin Helmke. I'm going to help you, or really you're going to help me, show a steer for the first time. You do this a lot. How many years have you been doing this stuff, and how often through the year are you showing animals?
I show cattle all year round. I started in 4-H, which is the first time where you can actually take, like, a market steer to either your county fair or the Ohio State Fair when I was 9 years old. So then it's about, like, 6 years now. But I've been showing cattle ever since I was 4 years old, and I was brought up around cattle. And there's always calves in our show barn all year round. We're showing cattle throughout the winter, throughout the summer, spring and fall. We really don't ever have a time off where there's not a calf that we're getting ready for a show. So it's kind of just like an everyday thing where you're rinsing cattle and working hair and keeping them just fresh and keeping them broke and calm and everything.
Now, how do you work all of that in with just being a regular teenager?
It's a lot. It's a lot of fun. I think my love for it makes it so I can do it. If I didn't love cattle as much as I do, I really don't think that I would be able to do it all. It's a lot of, like, balance, and I get to do a lot of stuff with my friends, but I surround myself with my cattle, and then I put my friends on the side. And just livestock and that kind of stuff is my main focus. And then my friends come second to that.
How many of your friends have livestock as well? I mean, do you have a lot of friends that you do the same things, or are most of your friends outside of that?
I have a lot of friends in both. Like, I have a lot of sports friends that are around here in New Philadelphia. And then I have a lot of friends that I show cattle with. And we all really relate. When we get together and go to these shows, we really relate about how much time it goes into it, and we all appreciate all the hard work that each other have put into all the long hours at home.
All right, you just said you have sports friends, too, and because what I do for a living is sports, I've got to ask, what kind of sports are you into? What do you play?
I play softball, and then I swim on my high school swim team.
Very nice. Which one do you like better?
Oh, that's a hard question. I would have to say softball, but swimming's up there just because I've done softball for so much longer. But swimming's also a lot of fun.
Now, what are you, 15?
Yes.
So you have to rely on your parents a lot. You don't have a driver's license yet. Obviously, your parents are, very much into this as well. How important has their guidance been and their help been? Just everything that they do for you to help you to do what it is that you love.
Their guidance and support is everything. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do anything that I do now. I wouldn't be able to go all over the country and show cattle. I wouldn't be able to have the cattle that I do or go to any of the sporting events that I do. They pretty much drive me around wherever I need to. Whenever I need to be there, I'm always on time for everything. And they're just very supportive in everything that I do. And if my mom or dad thinks that, like, hey, you've got a lot on your plate this week, let me help you out, they'll take time out of their schedules. And they both have full-time jobs. So they leave for work at about 6 o'clock in the morning and don't get home at 5. And my parents both help me feed all of the livestock in the barn. And they help me rinse and walk cattle every night. And then they take me to my sporting events. Wherever I need to go, I'm always on time. And they're always there for me, cheering me on and giving me words of encouragement whenever I need them.
Talking with Mikaelin Helmke, she is going to help me, actually, when I participate in the inaugural Dean's Charity Steer Show coming up in just a couple of weeks. Now, do you have any siblings? Brothers, sisters?
Yes, I have one brother, Landon, and he's 21 years old.
So how much has he helped you? And I'm assuming that he enjoys some of the same things, maybe most of the same things that you do.
Yeah, he is always around. He does a lot of the same everything that I do. We show cattle together. We rinse every day together. We're always together, and any time that I need a ride somewhere and my parents aren't available to take me, he's always willing to drop everything he has and come drive me to a sporting event or help me at home rinsing cattle or just whatever I need. He's always there for me, and it doesn't matter. He'll come and help me out whenever I need it.
Now, I've got to ask you, you've mentioned rinsing cattle a couple of times, and I just want you to explain that, because I'm guessing that there's not air conditioning in a barn, right? So to keep those cattle cool, that's up to you, isn't it?
Yeah. So some people do have air conditioning in their barns, but we do not have air conditioning in our barn. We just have fans and a water hose. And the water hose quickly becomes my best friend during the summer. Every day I just take the water hose and I just rinse them off and keep them cool. And then I work their hair with a brush and a blower. And it just helps growing hair. And they have to stay cool. Otherwise, you're not going to get the big, like, fluffy animals and the hair and the time spent with them.
You have said that you've gone all over the country to shows. What's the furthest away that you've gone from New Philadelphia, your home?
Probably the furthest I've been that I can remember is Oklahoma. I think that, yeah, Oklahoma sounds about right. Oklahoma or Grand Island, Nebraska. We go out there for the Junior National show. We did that like once or twice.
So now I need to ask you what tips you can give me, because I have a little bit of an idea of what I'm doing, but I don't have a big idea of what I'm doing. So what am I going to be doing, and what tips can you give me, Michaela?
What you're going to be doing is you're going to be showing my steer. His name is Sasquatch. He's always pretty calm and collected, but you're just going to just show him how I would every day in the show ring, and just work with him and be like partners with him, because that's the best thing that you can be. Sasquatch and I have shown everywhere this winter and this past fall, and we've become very close partners. And I feel like you and him would be a great partner. Like, you'd be great partners, and you can work together really nicely and work in the show ring really well. You'll also be like blowing them and working their hair. That's a main thing that we focus on here at our place, is just working their hair and keeping them like healthy and cool. So I think you'll be helping do that a little bit.
So you'll help me in gaining his trust, is what you're telling me. I'm asking you to.
Yes.
Fair enough. I like that. Hey, how excited are you about you and Sasquatch and your family being part of this show?
We are so excited to help out with the Ronald McDonald House and be a part of this steer show. The Ronald McDonald House is very close to our family, so we're really excited to be asked to be a part of this steer show, and we hope that everything goes well and that we represent New Philadelphia and Ohio very well.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not sure how many interviews you do when you're doing these shows, but you are one well-spoken young lady, and I really appreciate you doing this, and I really appreciate what you're going to do with me, which is helping me with Sasquatch and helping to make this whole thing a success.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for everything.
That is Michaela Helmke. Her steer is named Sasquatch, as she said, and I am going to be showing Sasquatch at the Dean's Charity Steer Show, looking to help to raise funds for Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central New York, and partnering with my good friends over at Ohio Credit Union. I will get the information on my Twitter feed at Bobby Mac Sports, so you can find everything right there. All right, I promised you would look at the schedule. I'm breaking my promise, because I'm pretty much out of time here. I've got another show that we'll do for Friday, the last day of development camp, the day of the 3-on-3 tournament. And I can go over it on that show. And also you'll hear from Alexander Texier and Emil Bemstrom when we get together once again. So that is going to be on Friday, the last day of development camp. That happens to be June the 28th, by the way. Because, again, this is a podcast. Maybe you're not listening to this when it comes out on Wednesday. Maybe you're listening on Thursday. So, you know, instead of me saying I'll do it Friday or I'll do it tomorrow, and or saying all of that stuff, June the 28th, that's the day. If final day of Blue Jackets development camp. That's when you'll hear from Texier, Bemstrom, and we'll talk about the schedule. All of that on the next off-season edition of CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. I'll tell you.